This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. 2018 is not a presidential election year, but it will still be very busy in Michigan, with no incumbent running for governor, attorney general, or secretary of state. The entire legislature, House and Senate, is up for election, and there is the potential for several ballot proposals. All of those campaigns cost money. Michigan Campaign Finance Network Director Craig Mauger has been following the dollars. He joins us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. Hello, Craig.
Hey, Gordon. How's it going?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you. I want to begin with Congress. The 6th Congressional District here in South Michigan has seen the second most money cumulatively raised by the candidates. And that's, I suppose, somewhat unique because there is a longtime incumbent running. The top race is an open seat. Is it unusual to see a race where there is an incumbent running, especially one who's been there a long time, and that much money coming into the campaigns?
I don't think it's particularly unusual because you have to look at the composition of the district, and this is one of the, you know, handful of districts in Michigan that is slightly or, you know, more than slightly competitive in terms of the number of Democrats and Republican voters that live in the district. So, you know, cycle after cycle, there's going to be some money, you know, funneled into the 6th district to try to make this race competitive if you're Democrats trying to oust Fred Upton. And, you know, the 6th district has seen a lot of money in some previous cycles, some more than others. And this year, as it stands right now, it looks like there's a few candidates that are there raising a lot of money on the Democratic side.
And that is likely to lead to a pretty competitive Democratic primary, right?
Yes, yeah. And this is a trend that some national organizations have been noting that examine the campaign finance numbers across the country that, one, there's some energy on the Democratic side in terms of people giving money to candidates. But two, a lot of this giving is going to candidates who are in these crowded Democratic primary races. So, yes, the Democratic candidates are having some fundraising success, but also they're going to have to use some of that money that they're bringing in to run against fellow Democrats.
State Senate races, you chronicle a couple of different trends here in Southwest Michigan. The 19th state Senate district. That includes Calhoun, Barry, and Ionia counties. And that is attracting a lot of money for a primary between current state representative John Bison of Battle Creek and former representative Mike Calton of Nashville. So where is the money coming from to these two campaigns?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation there in the 19th because you have Dr. Bison, who is known to be a good fundraiser, and you have Mike Calton, who's also, you know, notoriously known as a good fundraiser. And Dr. Bison has put a lot of his own money into the race at this point, and Mike Calton has transferred monies from some of his past accounts into this race. So there's a lot of money just sitting there waiting for this primary race to really get off the ground.
And that's a race where it's an open seat because Mike Knopf's cannot run for re-election to the state Senate. Over in the 20th state Senate district, which is actually Kalamazoo County, this is a race where the most money was contributed 4 years ago. So far, it's largely on the Republican side for the incumbent Margaret O'Brien, her Democratic opponent Sean McCann, the same person who ran against her back in 2014. Is the advantage right now that O'Brien would have in fundraising significant, or is it still early in the game?
I think it's still very early in the game. You know, these are fundraising numbers as of the end of 2017, and there will be more and more dollars raised as the election nears. And as the election gets very close, you'll see a ton of outside groups. These are groups other than the candidates' campaigns will come in and start spending large sums of money on TV ads or mailers that people in Kalamazoo County will receive. And that will really drive the final cost number up. In 2014, this was the most expensive state Senate race in Michigan. And actually, the individual race in 2014 between Margaret O'Brien and Sean McCann was the most expensive state Senate race that we've ever tracked, and we've been doing this for about two decades. So a lot of people expect that with a rematch happening, that this race will likely once again be one of the most expensive in 2018.
It was also a very close race in terms of votes. Margaret O'Brien ended up winning by 60-some-odd votes in that race by the time the recounts were done. Is it possible, though, that people will look around and may find that there are more competitive races in 2018 than there were in 2014, and therefore maybe just the sheer amount of money doesn't quite find its way to Kalamazoo County the way it did 4 years ago?
I think it's possible that the race might not be as expensive in 2018 as it was in 2014. But another thing to keep in mind is that there's more money in the political system going into this election than there was in 2014. So, you know, all of these indicators that we, you know, kind of monitor to determine that is what kind of money are groups raising that these groups are later going to spend. And those groups, political action committees, the caucus committees that raise money to try to invest in the most competitive state legislative races, all of those groups have more money coming in right now than they did by a wide margin in 2014. So there's more money available to invest in all of these races. So that means more mailers, more TV ads. That means interest groups are more heavily involved in funding the campaign. And it means that there'll be a lot of activity, to say the least, in 2018.
Regarding those caucus committees, one of your reports tells us that the four main groups that raise money to elect Michigan lawmakers have more cash available at the start of 2018 than they've had at the start of past election years, and it's not even close. Tell us what's going on with these campaign committees.
Yeah. So I don't want to throw too many numbers out there, but basically these four caucus committees, they raise money on behalf of the Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats, House Republicans, House Democrats. They have $7.6 million on hand starting 2018. Their previous high for the cash available at the start of an election year was 2014, and that was $4.4 million. So that's a huge jump of $3.2 million to start this election year. And these groups raise that money to invest it in competitive races, to try to make sure that their candidates win these races. And it's a good kind of barometer to see how expensive some of the races will be. And it's also an example of public policy decisions impacting what happens with campaigns. In 2013, the legislature voted to double campaign contribution limits. And one of the limits that got doubled is the amount that donors can give annually to caucus committees. It used to be a donor could only give up to $20,000 per year to one of these four caucus committees. After they doubled the limit, it went up to $40,000. And with that limit doubled, these caucus committees are raising a lot more money, as we can tell. The decision has had an impact, and the impact has been caucus committees have been able to raise a lot more cash.
There has been $16.6 million raised cumulatively for the campaigns for governor so far. You tell us that more than half of that money came from either the candidates themselves through personal contributions or loans to their own campaigns, or from about 318 donors who chipped in the maximum amount to at least one of the contenders. So can we read there that there's a small number of people, basically the candidates themselves and maxed out donors, who are driving up the price tag of the campaign for governor?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can read that there's a small number of people that are really invested heavily financially in this race for governor. And that will be something that continues to play out as other groups get involved. But I mean, I have to say that a lot of the money in the race is being driven by Sri Tanadar, who has invested, you know, $6 million of his own money in his campaign. And you have a couple other candidates who have given large contributions to their own campaigns. And the difference here is that if you are the candidate, you can give your own campaign an unlimited amount of money. If an individual wants to give to a candidate for governor, they can only give $6,800.
When it comes to ballot campaigns, there has been $7 million raised as of the last campaign finance reports related to ballot questions. How much money right now is on the side of the supporters, and is the price tag going to go up significantly once the campaigns which oppose these questions, the ones at least that get on the ballot, once they get ramped up and start raising money to oppose them?
Yeah, so the ballot campaigns can get expensive very quickly. So these are campaigns that are directly trying to change state law or change the state constitution. So far, the active ballot campaigns have raised about $7 million in support. You know, we've seen in previous cycles when there have been a lot of ballot proposals that actually make it on the ballot, that those races can, you know, cost up to $100 million combined. They draw a humongous amount of money into the election season. And it's unclear at this point how many of these proposals will actually be on the ballot ballot. There could be lawsuits. There could be, you know, other decisions that make it impossible for them to get on the ballot in November. So a lot of that's unclear, but it appears right now that some of them are, you know, very close to securing a place on the ballot. I mean, I'm talking about the marijuana legalization proposal seems to be close to that. There's a prevailing wage repeal proposal that may or may not get on the ballot. I think each of those campaigns have raised over $1 million so far. So there is a lot of activity happening there.
Right. The marijuana campaign, the prevailing wage, and the part-time legislature are the three which have raised $1 million or more. Prevailing wage still looks iffy in terms of getting on the ballot, and we don't know about part-time legislature. I mean, is it possible that there could be an awful lot of money raised by a few of these campaigns, which really doesn't go anywhere because they don't get on the ballot?
Yeah, and we've seen that in 2016. There was a lot of money being raised by ballot proposals to try to get proposals before voters, and it ended up that none of them actually got there. I think this year is a little bit different because there are so many different proposal campaigns out there investing a lot of money. In addition to the ones that you mentioned, you have a redistricting proposal that's been active and has gathered a lot of signatures. You have a earned sick leave proposal, a minimum wage increase proposal that have both been out there gathering a lot of signatures. And then in addition to all of those, you have two others that are kind of now late to the game and appear to be serious about getting their proposals advanced. And one of them is a voting rights proposal, and one of them is a clean energy proposal, which a similar kind of renewable energy proposal from 2012 attracted millions upon millions of dollars to the campaign. So it will be something that voters need to keep an eye on. And the money in these ballot proposal campaigns is notoriously hard to track in terms of where it's actually coming from. And that's something that we'll be watching.
Why is it more difficult to track for a ballot campaign than maybe other campaign committees?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question. So if you're a candidate and you're raising money, you can only take money from individuals and PACs. You can't take money from corporations. Ballot proposal campaigns can take money from corporate entities. So what has happened, and I'll just throw out one example, and this happens in a lot of the ballot proposal campaigns. You have the proposal for the part-time legislature. They've raised about $1.7 million so far. $1 million of that has come from a nonprofit called the Fund for Michigan Jobs. So where did that nonprofit get its $1 million that it then gave to the part-time legislature campaign? We don't know. I mean, no one knows the original source of that money. And that's something that's happened with a lot of these proposal campaigns over the years.
Greg Mauger, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Greg Mauger is the director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network. He joined us from the Michigan Public Radio Network studios in Lansing. You can find links to the Michigan Campaign Finance Network's reports at WMUK.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.